سورة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله أضل أعمالهم. Those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah, He will render their deeds vain. But those who believe and do good deeds and believe in that which is sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for it is the truth from their Lord, He will expiate from them their sins and He will make good their state. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا اتَّبَعُوا الْبَاطِلِ. This is because those who disbelieve follow falsehood, while those who believe follow the truth from their Lord. Thus does Allah set forth for mankind their parables. Now how do we stop people from the path of Allah? There are different ways of doing that. In some countries we find that the Muslims are forcibly stopped from obeying Allah, from believing in Allah, as is happening before our very eyes. Then we find there's a way when the Muslims are oppressed as a deterrent. For instance, in places if a woman wears hijab, she can be imprisoned for that. Then there are other ways whereby we can hinder people from the path of Allah. And one way of doing that is by creating doubts in the minds of the Muslims, by creating false cults such as Munkari Hadith, who say, well, ahadith are not accurate. Then there are the Orientalists, those who studied Islam thoroughly and who come up with plausible explanations, plausible distorted theories to distract us, to tempt us, to distort our perception of Islam. Allah says, people who are engaged in such tasks, He's just wiped out their deed, just deleted them completely. Why? Because those who disbelieve follow falsehood, while those who believe follow the truth from their Lord. Thus has Allah set forth for mankind their parables. So when you meet those who disbelieve, smite their necks, till when you have killed and wounded many of them, then bind a bond firmly on them. Then after is either the time for generosity or ransom until the war lays down its burden. ذَلِكَ thus, وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَمْ تَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ. If it had been Allah's will, He could certainly have punished them without you. But He does this in order to test some of you with others. وَالَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَلَنْ يُضِلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Those who were killed in the path of Allah, He will never let their deeds be lost. Now we need to understand that the first purpose of jihad is not that we force everyone to become Muslims. No, we have been told, la ikraha fid deen, there is no compulsion in religion. We are not allowed to force anyone to become a Muslim. What then is the purpose of jihad? To check oppression and to allow freedom of worship to prevail. That Muslims should be left free to worship Allah. And if someone is fighting to show his bravery, which is in the path of Allah, and he was told, so that the word of Allah, that is the uppermost. That is the true purpose of jihad. Not so that you gain land or territory or power or wealth, so that Allah's word is the uppermost. Now we find the general principle in this is that there is no lifelong imprisonment in Islam. Then is the time either for generosity or ransom them. See, we find that very few of the captives that the Muslims took were actually killed. It wasn't that the Muslims were having jihad so that they could wipe out all the disbelievers from the face of this earth. This was a totally wrong impression created by the Orientalists. For instance, we find in the Battle of Badr, out of 70 captives, only 2 were killed. And those 2 were Utbah and Nazar bin Harith. People who were bitter enemies against Islam. In other words, people who were active agents against Islam. After the Battle of Uhud, only 1 poet was killed. On the occasion of Khaybar, 1 traitor was killed. In other words, only the active enemies of Islam were killed. If you look at the rules of jihad, you find that they are amazing. The Prophet ﷺ forbade the killing of women and children. He forbade unnecessary wanton destruction of crops. In some cases, we find Muslim rulers even forbade the killing of farmers because they're necessary for the economy of a country. Then we find that no old people can be killed, no monks were allowed to be killed, no religious scholars were allowed to be killed. Now, if you compare that to the brutal carnage that is taking place in this world against our Muslim brethren, is there any comparison? And yet they brainwashed us into thinking that we're the terrorists. We're the ones who want to kill everyone shouting Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ himself taught us, Istawsaw bil asara khayra. In other words, be good to your captives. Don't torture them, don't persecute them, don't make life miserable for them. For instance, we find that one captive says that the Ansari Muslim who had housed me, They didn't dump them all in one room, leaving them to die like the rape camps and the slaughter camps. No. All the captives were distributed amongst the different Muslims. And this captive says that one Ansari Muslim who had housed me used to feed me roti, which was regarded as a delicacy by them, and eat dates himself. A pagan, a captive, and this was the treatment that was being meted out to them. In some occasions, we find the Prophet ﷺ said that those of the prisoners who can teach, they should teach 10 Muslim children and they will be freed, which shows us the emphasis in Islam upon education as well. We find that the food, medical aid, and care of the prisoners all rests upon the government. Allah says that if it had been Allah's will, He could have punished them without you, but He did this to test you. And those who are killed in the path of Allah, He will never let their deeds be lost. Remember in Surah Yasin, that man who was killed, what was said to him? قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ It was said to him, enter Jannah. It said that the first drop of the martyr's blood that spilled, and his sins are forgiven and he's taken to Jannah. And remember the story that we heard the other day of this companion who was going to get married and this battle was going to take place. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ, should I delay my marriage till after the battle? And he said, no, and you can join us the next morning. And on the wedding night, the wife had a dream and she realized he was not going to come back. So when he was about to leave her, she clung to him weeping. And he comforted her. And then he rushed out of the house. And when he fought in the battle, he was martyred. And his wife came to the Prophet ﷺ. And she said, O Prophet of Allah, he was in a state of impurity. And he said, I saw the angels washing him from the heavens, from trays of silver. And that man came to be known as Ghassilul Malaika, the one bathed by the angels. لَيُضِلَّ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ Allah will never waste their deeds. He will guide them and set right their state. وَيُدْخِلِهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ And He will admit them to paradise, which He has made known to them. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ O you who have iman. Where are these believers? Where are they hiding? O you who believe, if you help Allah, He will help you. How do we help Allah? By helping His deen, in whatever way we can. If you have a skill for teaching, then study the Quran and teach it for Allah's sake. If you have a flair for writing, then study the Quran and write about Islam for Allah's sake. If you cannot go out and teach, then teach your servants, teach your children. In tansurullah, but do something before it's too late. Help Allah's deen, He will help you. He will take care of your children. He will take care of your matters. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ And He will make firm your feet. He will grant you the strength to do all this. But those who disbelieve, for them is destruction. وَأَضَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ And Allah will make their deeds vain. This is because they hate that which Allah has sent down, so He has made their deeds fruitless. People who are intimidated by hijab, who are intimidated by the Quran, have they not traveled through the land and seen what was the end of those before them? Allah destroyed them completely, and a similar fate awaits the disbelievers. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ This is because Allah is the protector of those who believe, and the disbelievers have no protector. So who do we wish to be? The ones whose friend Allah is, or ones without a friend? Certainly Allah will enter those who believe and do good deeds, to gardens under which rivers flow, while those who disbelieve enjoy themselves and eat as cattle eat. In other words, without consideration of halal and haram, standing, just having a good time, just satisfying their own desires, gratifying their own lusts. وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًى لَهُمْ And the fire will be their abode. And many a town, stronger than your town, which has driven you out, we have destroyed, and there was none to help them. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ كَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ Is he who is on a clear proof from his Lord, like those for whom their evil deeds that they do are beautified for them, while they follow their own desires? Is there a comparison? Someone who is following Allah because he knows this is from Allah, following the Quran, following the Sunnah, and someone who is just doing what he feels like doing, what he is ready to do? مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ The description of Jannah which the Allah conscious have been promised, and Allah doesn't break His promise. is that in it are rivers of water, the taste and fragrance of which are not changed, rivers of milk of which the taste never changes, rivers of wine delicious to those who drink, and rivers of pure honey. Therein for them is every kind of fruit, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, and forgiveness from their Lord. Are these like those who shall dwell forever in the fire, and be given to drink boiling water, so that it cuts up their intestines? Now we can choose for ourselves, what do we wish? فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. One group is in Jannah, and one group is in hell. And right now, the choice is ours. وَمِنْهُمْ مَن يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ, and among them are some who listen to you, till when they go out from you. They say to those who have received knowledge, what did he say just now? Such are men whose hearts Allah has sealed, and they follow their lusts. See how Allah knows us in and out. When we attend Quranic gatherings, we listen to this knowledge, but we're not really listening. We're thinking about something else, totally distracted. And so when we go out, we say, what was that? I didn't catch that. Allah says, such are people whose hearts Allah has sealed. They're listening to the Quran, but they're not absorbing it. And they follow their own desires. While as for those who accept guidance, He increases their guidance. وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, and He bestows on them their Allah consciousness. Do they then await anything other than the hour? That's when they'll start listening to the Quran properly. When they see the angel of death standing before them, do they await anything other than the hour or the day of judgment, that it should come upon them suddenly? But some of its signs have already come. Look at the abundance in earthquakes, floods, world disasters. And when it is actually upon them, how then can they benefit by their reminder? فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Know that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah. And ask forgiveness for your mistake and also for the sin of believing men and believing women. And Allah knows well your moving about and your place of rest. Those who believe say, why is not a surah sent down for us? But when a decisive surah is sent down and fighting is mentioned therein, you will see those in whose hearts is a disease of hypocrisy looking at you with the look of one fainting to death. They like to pretend that they'd love to serve Islam, but when the command actually comes, then they can't bear the thought. But it was better for them, obedience and good words. And when the matter is resolved on, then if they had been true to Allah, it would have been better for them. Would you then, if you were given the authority, do mischief in the land and sever your ties of kinship? Such are they whom Allah has cursed, so that He has made them deaf and blinded their sight. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they then not think deeply about the Qur'an? Are their hearts locked up? So let's apply this ayat to us. How often do we think deeply about the Qur'an? We read the Qur'an and proudly we say, oh, I read 5 Qur'ans this Ramzan. Do you know how long it took Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu to read Surah Baqarah? 8 years. Why? Not because he was a slow reader, because he was reading it and acting upon it. How do we read the Qur'an? We read the whole sipara, sadaqallahu al-azim, let's go home and Allah must really love me today. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. What's wrong with these people? Why aren't they thinking about it? Why aren't they contemplating it? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or is it that their hearts are sealed? When do you seal some letter? When you've got nothing more to say. Or is it that our hearts are so engulfed in these darknesses of ignorance and stubbornness and prejudices that it makes no difference to us whether we read or we don't read? See, this contemplation of the Qur'an is something that's very important to understand. I'd like to read out an extract from Jeffrey Lang's book, Struggling to Surrender, in which he says, you cannot simply read the Qur'an, not if you take it seriously. You either have surrendered to it already or you fight it. It attacks tenaciously, directly, personally. It debates, criticizes, shames and challenges. From the outset it draws the line of battle, and I was on the other side. I was at a severe disadvantage, for it became clear that the author knew me better than I knew myself. Painters can make the eyes of a portrait appear to be following you from one place to another, but what author can write a book that anticipates your daily vicissitudes? The Qur'an was always way ahead of my thinking. It was erasing barriers I had built years ago and was addressing my queries. Each night I would formulate questions and objections and somehow discover the answer the next day as I continued on in the accepted order. It seemed that the author was reading my ideas and writing in the appropriate line in time for my next reading. I had met myself in its pages. We too are in these pages of the Quran, either hypocrite, either sinner, either saint or scholar. Right now, the choice is ours. I had met myself in its pages and I was afraid of what I saw. I was being led, working my way into a corner that contained only one choice. Is that the way we read the Quran? Reflecting upon it, analyzing it, challenging it, contemplating it, pondering it? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ What's wrong with these people? Are they not contemplating the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Are their hearts locked? Are their hearts sealed? Or are they too busy doing other things? Indeed, those who have turned back as disbelievers, after the guidance has become clear to them, Shaitan has beautified for them. Lots of time to obey, lots of time to turn to Allah. And Allah prolonged their term. This is because they said to those who hate what Allah has sent down, we will obey you in part of the matter. I'll be a Muslim when it's time to pray, but on New Year's Eve, then I'll be someone else. But Allah knows their secrets. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ Then how will it be when the angels will take their souls at death? So that's it now. End of story. The pen's being taken away. No more chances. If we did not turn to Allah, too late. How will it be when the angels will take their souls at death, smiting their faces and their backs? This is because they followed that which angered Allah. Not they believed in, they followed that. What are we following? We need to think. And hated that which pleased him. When we hear of Allah's commands and we think, oh no, now I know I'll have to think about it. They hated that which pleased Allah. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ So he made all their deeds in vain. He is Malikul Muluk. He does not need our half-hearted ibadah, nor does he need our hypocrisy. Allah says he made their deeds fruitless. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ When we believe in part of the book and reject part of the book, Allah says, I don't want any part of your ibadat. Or do those in whose hearts is a disease of hypocrisy, a sickness, someone with true heart problems, think that Allah will not bring to light all their hidden venom? They think they're concealing it from people, they're fooling people? Had we willed, we could have shown them to you, and you would have known them by their signs. But surely you will know them by the tone of their speech. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَعْمَالَكُمْ And Allah knows your deeds. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ Surely we shall test you until we know those who strive hard, whether doing intellectual jihad or spiritual jihad or military jihad. And the patient, those who are constant. And we shall test your facts. Indeed, those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah and oppose the Messenger after the guidance has been shown to them, they will not harm Allah in the least, but He will make their deeds fruitless. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and do not make your deeds in vain. Don't spoil the good deeds you've already done by disobeying Him in others. Indeed, those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah, then die while they are disbelievers. فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ Allah will not forgive them. So do not be weak. Do not ask for peace and you will have the upper hand. اللَّهُ مَعَكُمْ Allah is with you and He will never decrease the reward of your good deeds. No compromise, no apologies. The life of this world is but play and pastime. وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا يُؤْتِكُمْ أُجُورَكُمْ If you believe and are Allah conscious, He will grant you your rewards and He will not ask you your wealth. One zakat that Allah asks of us, 2.5%, and we can't even give that. If He were to ask you all your wealth and press you, you would stingily withhold and He would bring out all your secret ill will. What does Allah tell us? لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ You can never attain goodness until you spend some that which you love. Not all that which you love, some part of it. هَا أَنْتُمْ هَاؤُلَاءِ تُدْعَوْنَ لِتُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يَبْخَلْ Amongst you are those who are called to spend in the cause of Allah. Everyone should think of themselves. Yet among you are some who are stingy. Whoever is stingy, it is only at the expense of his own self. He doesn't want to benefit himself in the hereafter. Wallahu al-ghani, Allah is rich. Antum al-fuqarau, you're all the beggars. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا and if you turn away, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you turn away people, he will exchange you for some other people and they will not be your likes.